Hello and welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners and podcast listeners everywhere. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx.
She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice, a straight dog is nice. She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you wanna listen twice. Make decisions, find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay if you need help today, cause everybody needs a little push. From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
Welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx. This weekly show airs every Wednesday on Transformation Talk Radio and podcast stations everywhere at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. Welcome to Women Who Push for More. This is where I interview enterprising, self-aware, and confident women who strive to achieve more in every aspect of their lives and have learned to never settle for less than they are worth. Inspiring and empowering stories of true pushy broads whose strength and courage makes us all want to be women who push for more. I get to interview fabulous, interesting women who help to empower us and inspire us. And I have a wonderful woman today that hails from Oregon. She describes herself as a holistic wellness coach, a speaker, and the owner of Runaway Girls Weekend, a running and yoga retreat. And we're going to ask her about all of those things today. Will you please help me welcome Colleen Cleary? Good morning, Colleen.
Hi, Ellen. I'm so excited to be here with you today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I really do appreciate your answering my call. I sent out a general email to so many of the groups asking for women who identify with pushing for more. So tell me, what attracted you to that post? What made you decide to ask to be interviewed?
So what a great question. I really love the name of your podcast, first of all. It stands out in the podcast world, right? Because we're all listening to so many these days. And so the title so totally grabbed me because when I think of pushing for more, I think that can cross into all the different areas of our lives. It can be in our wellness. It can be in your business if you're a business owner or if you're an employee. It can be in so many different things. So I just love the idea of always looking of ways to improve. So that's what pushing and being pushy means to me.
That's fantastic. And I was hoping that you would feel that way. That's very intuitive of you because that's exactly how I planned it. You're absolutely right. Pushing for more in all areas of our lives. And you have certainly made that a career as well. So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about your childhood a little bit and how you struggled and what our listeners are going to look forward in terms of how you've progressed. So tell me a little bit about what went on when you were young.
A little bit about me and my childhood. So I grew up out in a rural area in Oregon. I'm a lifelong Oregonian, but I've moved around a bit. And I was there until the age of 13. I was there till I was 13. I loved it. I was an outdoor kid, riding bikes, climbing trees, all the stuff. In the mud, mud pies, you name it. It was really, really fun. I'm an only child, but I had a lot of animals for pets and a couple of neighbor kids, and it was really, really great. Things got really hard at the age of 13. My parents went through a divorce. It was really ugly. And shortly after their divorce was final, my father died. So that had a huge impact on me. Oh, let's see. He passed away in February. And that summer, I stayed with some friends in the area. But then my mother moved to the big city of Portland, which was big city to me, right? I'd only been to Portland maybe a couple of times, and it looked like the biggest city ever. So then I had to go and move with her. So that was that's when things really shifted for me and got really hard, so to speak.
So here you are, you're young. How old are you when your parents divorced, did you say? How old?
I would have been 12.
12 years old, mm-hmm. Right? Pre-teen, right? Pre young adolescence. Oh, yes, very, very difficult age, especially for a young gal. Parents divorced, moved into a big city here. And let's address some other things. It says, since my childhood, this is on your bio, since my childhood, I struggled with some digestive issues. Talk about that.
So, oh my gosh, that was something that I didn't even, you know, during that time, so I'm 53 now, during that time when I was a kid, I don't ever remember hearing talk about maybe you shouldn't have gluten in your diet, or maybe you shouldn't have dairy, you know, like the food that you eat actually makes the difference. I had never heard of that before. So I just ate, you know, all the fun stuff, all the good stuff. My mom cooked a lot. We had a garden, all of that. So it wasn't, you know, all microwavable meals by any means, but I was eating all of the things. We never even considered it, but I struggled. I had constipation, had all kinds of things like that. I had eczema really bad, hay fever, allergies. So I had a lot of things that we would take medication for it. And so that was what you did at that time. It wasn't until years and years later that I started hearing about maybe you should look at what's on your plate. Maybe it makes a difference.
It absolutely does. And you're right. Growing up, especially someone your age way back then, we never had to deal with any of those things, right? Diet sodas were fine as long as we were cutting back on the sugar. We had no idea that pasta contained gluten. We had no idea what foods contained gluten. We had no idea that what we were ingesting into our bodies could cause adverse reactions to people that are sensitive. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Never heard of, I was like, what's gluten? I don't know what you're talking about.
So you found it very difficult, I guess, moving along. Here you are in a big city with your mother, right? You're living with mom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just tell us a little bit more about that. What were the issues and the situations for you?
I think one of the biggest shifts for me was going from this little tiny town, the high school that I actually started at, I think maybe there were 300 students tops. So although I might not personally have a relationship with every student in the school, I recognized everyone in the hallways. If someone new was walking down the hall, they stood out. And then I shift to the big city school, and I don't remember the count of students, but it was way more than 300. And I'm completely lost. I'll never forget my first day of freshman year. Excuse me, that wasn't freshman year. That was junior year at this high school. The bells are ringing. There's just, it feels like a million people in the halls rushing around. I have no idea where I'm going. That took me quite a while to get comfortable and figure out the landscape, just physically, first of all. And then I didn't know anybody at the school. And at that time, although some people would find it hard to believe now, I was painfully shy, introverted, just like, you know, I was a deer in the headlights after we moved. It really took time to find people to connect with. And when I look back, I never really made any great friends at my new school. So I was isolated. And when you're a teenager and you're isolated, man, that was a struggle. That was really a struggle. I had been a decent student up to that point, but then my grades started to tank. It was just a really hard time. Thankfully, high school doesn't last forever.
What happened after that? How did you get yourself out of it and move forward?
Well, so after I graduated, I started going to community college. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but college was apparently the thing to do. So I was like, all right, let's go. I actually made some really, really good, still lifelong friends there. That shifted things a lot for me. You know, connection and having your people, if you will, makes all the difference in the world. So although I never finished going to that school, I didn't get a degree, I didn't graduate, but it really did improve my life a lot. Just having people I was connected with that really cared for me and wanted the best for me made a big difference.
So what you're saying is that there may be times in your life that you may be isolating and you don't necessarily have to turn to doing bad stuff to get away from that isolation. It doesn't sound like you've had any alcohol or drug problems over a time.
I'm very lucky to not have that. Mm-hmm.
Escape that way. You didn't bury your feelings that way. You worked it out in other ways. Were you athletic as a child?
I was a dancer as a child for about 10 years, and I really, really loved that. I left that behind after I moved to the big city. You know, and I missed it for a while. I took up running for a little bit, which is funny because Actually, as a child, a young child, my mother was a runner and we used to run together. And it kind of came and went a few times over the years. But after I gave up running, there was quite a while I wasn't athletic. I was active, but I didn't have like a sport that I was involved in or something like that.
Well, then in some ways, after you graduated high school, you managed to push forward. You went into college, you found new friends, you overcame your loneliness and your isolation, and you started to form bonds, correct?
Yeah, that made a huge, huge difference. Because even if you're, you know, feeling a little lost, you're not sure where to go to, they can be a real anchor for you, you know? And they can also, they can ask you how you're doing. You got a place to share, right? And they can also call you out on your stuff when they're like, what are you doing? I don't know about that. So I think those are big piece to why I was able to move forward.
That's terrific. And to have the fortitude to move forward and not to continuously retreat into yourself, but understand that community and friendships, even if it's one friendship at a time, is an important thing. And that is essential and a really good lesson for high school women, especially, and for early college students. And today, of course, with COVID-19, it's a little bit more difficult because they don't have the interaction at this moment. It's everywhere. It's still around. And, you know, people are conducting things virtually. And I know that young people out there are having a very, very difficult time actually connecting. So my heart goes out to it. And it can become a real problem for somebody that's an introvert and somebody that feels lonely and alone, correct?
100%. I couldn't agree more.
Yes.
It's a really hard time.
So here you are then. You said you didn't finish, but you left school. And what direction did you decide to go? What did you think was right for you? What was the next step?
You know, I didn't really know what was right as far as careers went, but, you know, I worked different jobs, had boyfriends, whatever, dating, that kind of thing. And then I actually ended up starting dating my future husband and went down that path, got married, had three children, made a very, very good friend who also helped me through that time of parenting young children. She had little kids the same age. So again, connection made a big difference for me. Something else that really, really helped me move forward, if you will, I will never forget the day of going back after my son was born, my oldest child. Everybody got together that had been in our childbirth class. We all brought our babies, big room, lots of babies, super noisy, all these moms laughing, connecting. I didn't really feel a big connection with any of them at that point. But then I looked at my baby on the floor, kind of wriggling around on the blanket. And I thought, how's he ever going to make friends if I don't get out of my shell and start meeting people? I'm going to have to do it. So I just sucked it up and went for it. And it was really hard.
Oh, but that's a really good thing. Sometimes we don't always think of ourselves. What you said was, if I don't do this, then my child won't be able to benefit from it.
Yep.
That's a really good thing. So here you are. You said you're a mom of three children. You got married. How old were you when you got married?
24.
24. Are you still married?
Nope. I left that marriage after 19 years.
Okay. Well, that's a story in itself, and maybe we'll...
Of course it is.
We'll get there. All right.
You
we'll talk
it.
About that. So 24, you got married, you have three children, and still a housewife, not really doing anything that you...
Staying home and taking care of those babies.
Which certainly, as I know, is harder than anything anybody has to do on the outside. I will defend that to the death. And I am not a mother, but I know many, 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 many hundreds of mothers. And I think being a mother and being a stay-at-home mom is the hardest job. There is nothing harder than that. I don't care what
100%. Yep.
I don't care what it is. Okay. So here you are doing this. And when did you start to feel that you wanted to do more? When the kids on top of it.
Let's do something more. So I had, when my youngest, I think she was getting close to 3 years old, I really did start to think I need something more than all of the laundry and all of the toys on the carpet, and, you know, all the stuff that we carry as mothers of young children. I needed something for me again. I was really, really missing that piece. I probably missed it before that, but I was so involved, I couldn't even see that. So I started longing for more, and I had become friends with a couple of the women that ran the preschool where my children went to preschool. And one of them said, "Do you want to come work part-time at the preschool? Just teacher aid kind of stuff." And I was like, "Yes, let's go. Please, can I get out of the house? Please, can I have adult conversation? Let's go." And it was great because my littlest would be there. Actually, both my youngest children would be there. It was just a really easy way to work outside the home, but not have to try and balance childcare and all of those other things. So that really opened a new path for me. I started working there part-time, and then it just kept growing. And by the time I left that school 9 years later, I was a mentor to other teachers. I had my own classroom and I loved it. I just loved that work.
And we'll be right back. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today. Welcome back, Transformation Talk Radio listeners. My name is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, and you're listening to my show, Women Who Push for More. I am having a conversation with Colleen Cleary, who is a holistic wellness coach, a speaker, and the owner of Runaway Girls Weekend, a running and yoga retreat. Colleen spent her early years as a wife and a mother. She finally got out there, started to make a mark in the world, and let's see how she does that very successfully. So here you are getting a little older. Your children are getting a little older. They're moving on. And you have then decided that you are going to do something at 40 years old. And it says you became a distance runner and you began to focus on your health and wellness. Let's talk about why that was so personal for you and what made you pivot in that direction.
So that's a really funny story, how it was like my return to running after a very long absence. I was with that same girlfriend that I had connected with through parenting our young children. She and I were like, okay, we got to take care of our health. It's finally our turn. Let's go join the gym, meet there early in the mornings for our workouts. We never touched the treadmill. We were on the elliptical machine. We had our routine. One day she's like, let's mix it up. Let's do the treadmill. We'll walk. Great. Then one day, and we were very competitive with each other. And one day we've got our headphones in, we've started, she started running on her treadmill. And I thought, what in the world is she doing? We don't run. Like if she's running now, I have to because she's going to beat me. So I started running. I was grumpy, super reluctant. I'm like, what are you doing? She said, well, I think this might actually speed up our progress. We might, you know, we might get healthier sooner. I was not happy, but I was competitive. So I kept doing it. Then we got invited by a friend to run outdoors, and that was a whole nother leap. Talk about pushing for more. That was a big leap for us. But I loved it, and I never looked back.
So you're running to this day, correct? You're a distance runner?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So does that mean you have marathons under your belt?
I do have marathons under my belt. I have run, let's see, it's over 10. It might be 12 or 13 now, half marathons. I don't know how many 5K, 10K races, and two full marathons. I was slated to run my third full this October. Plans changed, and that's all good. So maybe next year, the year after, we'll just see. But yes, I love it. My favorite distance is the half marathon.
13 miles?
13. And if you're a cranky runner, you say 13.1. We like to hold on to every step we take.
I see. Only in Oregon or across the country?
Most of them in Oregon, some in Washington. No, I have not. Oh, excuse me. I did travel and help a friend right before COVID hit in Austin, Texas. She was running her first full marathon. So I got to run part of that with her. So that's, yeah, it's all been West Coast.
In terms of marathons, any dreams, any bucket list? I want to run in the New York Marathon or the
Boston
Marathon.
Chicago. I wouldn't although I'd probably suffer, I wouldn't mind something over in Hawaii either, because running in Hawaii is pretty magical. Really warm, but magical.
Marvelous. I did a small amount of running in my life. I did a couple of 5Ks, a couple of 3Ks, nothing marathon-like. I really did love it.
That's fantastic.
Yes, really, really, really did love it. Unfortunately, my back did not love it. I really did have to stop as time went on. But I really do understand the benefits of running and attaining that kind of runner's high at a certain level. It's really something that people that run are addicted to.
Really. Absolutely addicted to it. Yeah. And the thing that I find so beautiful about running, for being in it for so long, is that it's given me so many gifts beyond just fitness. It's way more than a workout now. I've got a whole community around it, a lifestyle around it. It's so good for me.
So that's not just keeping your body healthy, but of course, expanding your mind and opening up a whole world of relationships for you.
100%. Yep. I just love it. Couldn't love it more.
All right. So you were so inspired by this transformation in your life that you wanted to move forward a little bit because you were able, like you said, to work on your body and also what was going into your body, right?
Yes.
All of the allergies and stuff. So talk to us about how this whole thing came about to make you a holistic wellness coach.
Absolutely. So what I love about like three different areas kind of in our wellness, if we start to tackle one, they influence the others, right? And working out for sure made me start to go, well, I'm starting to read in runners' magazines about how to fuel your body. What are we talking about? Maybe I should look at that. Maybe I should change some things up. At the same time, I thought, okay, I'm doing lots of running, drinking all the water. Why don't I feel better? Shouldn't I feel better? I could see if I wasn't doing any exercise or trying to do anything to improve my health, but why don't I feel better? And I met a health coach in a running group, and she was starting this group program, and I was like, that sounds interesting. So I took the program or joined the program, and as we were going through it, I was starting to feel better. And then I also planted the seed. I was like, I think I can do your job. Not today. I need the training. But because I'm an educator by nature, and now I'm so more and more into health and wellness, this feels like maybe something that I'm going to do next. It really planted the seed for me. So I asked her, tell me more about how you got into this work. We had a great conversation about it.
Okay, so there you go. What made you decide to actually coach other people? How did that come about? And tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
Absolutely. So after I got out of, after I got out of preschool teaching, I tried to figure out, okay, I want something else. I want to start pushing for more, right? But I wasn't sure what it was. So I was willing to sit with the not knowing piece for a while and just take some time to explore some ideas. Okay, what are some things I was feeling really strongly? I wanted something wellness related, but I wasn't sure what yet. Maybe I wanted to be a physical therapist. Maybe, you know, there were a few different things that kind of caught my interest, but nothing really lit a fire in me. And then I remember having a conversation with my then boyfriend, he's still my boyfriend, that sounded funny, with my boyfriend about like, what was I going to do next? And I heard about this health coaching program. And I was like, am I really going back to school? And he's like, well, the time's going to pass anyway. Why don't you just go for it? And I thought, well, I love how simple that is and obvious. So I did. I just jumped in and I thought, okay, I don't know all the things that are going to come from this, but why wouldn't I? At the very least, I get to learn how to improve my own health and wellness, and hopefully I can take it. And so I think it's the combination of the schooling, because that's important, but my own journey really, really lends a lot to my coaching. So it's just a good combination.
You mentioned here that you graduated from the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, where you learned about food and what you eat and all the factors that affect your overall health. And the whole idea of coming together, I completely identify with that. And so will the majority of our listening audience, especially on Transformation Talk Radio. And we're talking actually to all the women out there that may be 40 or 50 or 60 years old. For me, the transformation was at 50. Okay. That's for me what the transformation was. But I had various careers in my lifetime. But at 50, I went back to school. and in various other times in my life. So it is never too late to reinvent and to do things that matter. And sometimes, like you said, when you had college, you weren't ready for it, or it wasn't right for you at the time. And we absorb things in a different way. And especially today now with the advent of virtual learning, there is no reason why you can't expand your brain. And even in today's world, I am constantly taking courses. I'm in the middle of 5 different courses at a time, and I'm sure you are too.
Oh yeah. And all the books.
And all the books, right. I mean, books come to my house every single day, always, still, right? And the audio learning and the visual learning. And if when we do this, this certainly helps to allow us to be more integrative when it comes to our health. Yes, would you find that is a big thing?
Absolutely. I find sometimes you can feel like, okay, I already know the stuff, right? Like I know I've heard that before. But every person that brings information on that topic brings it in a different way because they are also bringing their own journey, right? And so when we hear things sometimes, I mean, like I've been health coaching for a while now, and I feel like I know a lot more than when I graduated from the program. But there are still times that I go, okay, well, I know this. Let's hear what they say about it. And I'm like, oh, they said it in just a different enough way that it resonates differently. So I love that. And being a lifelong learner, whether it's work-related, something else, I think it's really important. I think it helps enrich our lives a lot.
And being open enough to understand that we don't always know it all. And it's so wonderful for me, it's a relief to know that I don't know it all, right?
What a burden to have to know it all.
Exactly. Yeah. And I that's my high, to be able to learn new things.
Yes.
And that's certainly what it was for you when you were ready to hear it and ready to be a part of it. All right. So now talk to us about your work in nutrition. I want to talk about some of the things that you have on your website and some of the things that are really important to you that you actually make a statement here that's important to me. You say habits are the foundation of a healthy lifestyle. Would you explain that to us, what you mean?
Absolutely. So when I got out of health coaching, that program, I did first 100% focus on talk to me about the food you're eating with every client, because it's a big piece to our health. I quickly realized that these people would commit to, okay, I'll make these changes in my eating. And then we would meet again at the next session. And they didn't do the thing they said they were going to do. And I was like, there's a disconnect. So I started really researching all about habits. And that is now a very big piece to the work that I do. We're built on our habits, whether it's the habits that are serving us or the ones that aren't serving us. Everything that we're doing throughout our day is basically habits. There's different things that trigger the behaviors that we do and the patterns that we follow, whether we're aware of it or not. So that's become a very big piece, because I can talk to you all day about eating more green veggies, but if we don't have some habits that support your efforts, it's going to be really, really hard.
So how do you instill upon your clients how to develop a habit?
So the very first thing that we do is we figure out why they want to make a change. I have to know, where is it coming from? And I'm not talking that why, like, well, pre-2020, pre-COVID, it would be a lot of times women would come to me and be like, I have this event next month and I want to fit in this dress. I mean, and that's a why. That can be a very short-term motivator, but I want to dig deeper. And I know my clients are getting to it when there's kind of some nitty-gritty emotions around it, right? So that's where I start.
Tell me what you mean by, I know my clients are getting to it when there's some nitty-gritty emotions around it. Tell me exactly what that means.
So for instance, I had a client who was her mid-70s when we first started working together. And she came to me and said, well, you know, I need to get healthy. And I'm like, what does that mean? Because that's a pretty broad term. So we just kind of had this conversation of back and forth and digging in. And then I said, so you want to get healthy, what this looks like for you. Now, why is this important to you? And she started with that, well, my clothes aren't fitting so good. Okay, but why does that matter? And then she finally said to me, my doctor said I'm headed down a really bad path and I'm afraid I'm going to die early. I need to make a change. Okay, now that's powerful, right? Like I got the chills when she said it. So that's what I mean. And it can take time to get there. You know, we've got a lot of layers as humans. And if we're not super self-aware sometimes, or even, excuse me, if we are, it can take a little digging. But that's what I mean. Got to get in there to those nitty-gritty emotions.
One of the things we learn, especially about eating and eating disorders of any kind, is that our emotions play a very big role in that process. Certainly getting down to the emotions is something that we do as a holistic wellness coach. I do that as an empowerment coach when we look at somebody, because our self-esteem, how we think about ourselves, our fears, our concerns are very important when it comes to how we process and what we do with food. Mm-hmm. So I understand that's a big thing. And sometimes we have to first overcome those emotions in order to move forward. So do you work with clients in helping them deal with their emotions?
So I'm very careful when I'm working with my clients in that area, because I think there's a kind of a fine line between you and I can work together and move forward in this area, and I've done it before, you actually need a therapist. You've got some unresolved childhood things, whatever, and no judgment. I think therapy is a beautiful tool for pushing for more and moving forward, right? That is not who I am. I am not a therapist. I am very good at creating space, because I think that's a big thing that women especially need, the space and the time to just talk and explore about what's going on in their head, what's going on in their lives. We carry so much as women, and we are so busy that we don't often take that time. So I'm happy to create that space and kind of ask some questions open-ended to help you explore. But again, if I start feeling like we're heading into, you should get yourself a therapist, let me refer you. I have a network, because I think that's also a beautiful tool for women.
And that's a really good thing. And understanding where you go and what your limitations are and what you do and what you prefer not to do. And like you said, refer to another specialist. Mm-hmm. So that's wonderful.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today. Welcome back, Transformation Talk Radio listeners. This is Ellen Stewart. You're listening to my podcast, Women Who Push for More. And we have Colleen Cleary letting us know what it's like to be a holistic coach and talking to her clients and teaching them all about habits. All right, so let's get back to the habits part of it. I want to talk about that some more. How do you have your clients rework and now move into more positive habits? What's your process?
So the process is we figure out, we've got their why, they've got that figured out, and then we figure out what are the goals. Like, I like to do that practice. It sounds a little corny, but let's envision down the road in the future, you've hit those goals. What's that day in the life look like? What's different, right? And then where's the gap? We figure out some steps. What are the goals? How are we going to get there? Then the thing that really works super well for my clients and for me as well personally is I start really small. I am such a huge believer of little tiny baby steps and just keep showing up consistently. In our culture, we are really kind of wired to be like taking these big drastic moves, big changes. You know, let's look like everything we see on social media. Let's just go all in and really make it happen. I find that oftentimes people then start having to white knuckle through those big, big steps. And it's not sustainable. So we find ways to shrink down the steps we're going to take. And I'm like, and in the beginning, I don't really care about the effort that you put in. Let's say you want to start a walking program. I'm more interested that you put your shoes on and you went out the door for 5 minutes 5 days this week, like you said you were going to do, than I am for you getting your shoes on and you went for an hour walk 1 day a week, right? Just need you to start building momentum, consistency, and an identity around this is who I am. This is a piece to who I am now. This is part of my lifestyle. Instead of that person that white knuckled it yet again, gave up yet again, right? We get so identified with the behaviors and our patterns. So small steps, just keep showing up with little baby steps.
You're right. I know the whole adage, a journey is made up of 1,000 steps.
Yes.
So if there are people out there like me who during this quarantine has gained the proverbial quarantine 15, which is what I am struggling with and what I feel uncomfortable with, what you're telling me is I need to start small. Yeah. So what you're saying is movement coupled with eating habits. So what would your advice be for me?
My advice for you would be think about what is going to be the very easiest thing for you to start with. Because especially in 2020, but even before then, change is not easy. We can be resistant to change. So let's start building up some consistency. So think about what is the easiest thing that you could do. And I also like the idea of adding something in more than trying to take things away, at least in the beginning. Because when we try to say, I'm never going to eat another brownie, like, I don't know about you, but I feel pretty confident, most women and myself included, the second I say I'm never going to, that's all I can think about. I'm obsessed with eating that brownie again, right? So instead, looking at what's something small I can start adding in, and it will slowly reduce those things that I need to do less of. Doesn't mean I never eat another brownie. Just means I start focusing on what I can add in a little bit at a time.
You're absolutely right. And that also gives us an idea and the suggestion that behavior modification in a positive way is a really good thing. And you said those things, and that's very helpful. So let's take what Colleen says to heart. Adding things rather than taking things away, right? Giving ourselves something rather than depriving ourselves something is the way to go and makes us feel better about certain things. I don't know if you're familiar with Charles Duhigg's book, The Power of Habit.
Absolutely.
Okay. Love that. So that is a life-changing book. And understanding that the power of habit has to do with three things, right? The trigger, the action, and the reward. Yes, mm-hmm. You're familiar with that. So can you speak to that a little bit and talk about what we should look forward to and how we can foster good habits based on trigger, action, and reward?
Absolutely. So first of all, I think what's really important when we're starting to try and incorporate new habits or make some tweaks to the habits we already have, we need to have awareness. That's a big piece because a lot of this stuff can be on autopilot. So starting with awareness, trying to notice when those things are happening, that's your first thing. And figure out what is the trigger. So I believe in that book, he tells the story about in the afternoon hitting the vending machine. He kept going to the vending machine. He wanted that cookie from the vending machine, right? All been there. And so he decided to figure out the first thing was, well, why do I want to go to the vending machine, right? And I ask my clients that too. Why are you reaching for the food? If that's the food you want to eat less of, what's causing you to reach for it? Are you bored? Are you tired? You know, what, stressed? Oh my gosh, 2020? Right? So you got to figure out what's triggering it. The other thing that I think is really critical to understand is that just because we're all, you know, in the beginning, we get gung-ho. Okay, I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to get healthy and you're super motivated and you're going along, but that's going to wear off. And those triggers are not going to go away. You suddenly decide to get healthy doesn't mean your kids aren't going to stop or going to stop making messes. Or that the laundry's going to quit needing to get done. Life is going to keep going as you try to make these changes. So you have to figure out why there's that trigger. What is the trigger? And then what is the reward? And what else could fill that space for you? Now, sometimes you're reaching for food because you're actually physically hungry and you should eat. But if it's because you're bored or you're tired or some, what are some other things that can fill your cup and satisfy that need and that desire that will replace that for you. And it can take time and lots of trial and error, but that's my suggestion. Think about why it's happening and then what could you do instead that gives you that same satisfaction.
I understand what you're saying. And also I find that sometimes even with my clients to try to get them to do different things, because I also work with recovery coaching people and people that are normally going to substance misuse or overeating, overindulging, or doing addictive behaviors, is to talk to them about what the final reward is. And sometimes a vision board for that is a really good thing. Would you say?
Absolutely. I love visual reminders of what we're doing. What am I doing here? Why? And what am I working toward? We can forget so easy, again, because there's so much, like we're taking in information everywhere. We're managing and caring for so many things and so many people. We can forget. We can get the next day and be like, oh, that's right. I said I was going to meditate. Okay, well, maybe tomorrow, right? So visual reminders are a beautiful way to keep us going. Absolutely.
Yes. And thinking of what the reward is of feeling healthy, right? Actually beginning to feel it. What would it feel like right now if I felt really, really healthy? If I can put on any piece of clothing I want in the size that I want to wear it in and not feel like my body is bloated, feeling like I have the most energy that I've ever had, feeling in my head like I'm 20 years younger, not to be in that kind of fog or not itching from food allergies or whatever. The whole idea of what it feels like to feel really, really good and using that as the reward. Yes, what I can achieve and what I can get to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Feelings, I mean, they're strong motivators, right? And so again, like you were talking about that vision board, just understanding it's more than just a number on the scale. It's so many things that it affects your wellness. It affects your sleep. It affects your relationships. I've had clients tell me that they socially isolate themselves because they're embarrassed about how they look and they don't feel comfortable going out. They don't feel confident showing up at different things. So yes, absolutely. What is the reward? You know, and we have to remember that because again, change is hard and this work can be difficult. It's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. So remembering why you're doing it and what you're working towards, very important.
So has this personally given you joy in doing what you're doing? Speak to that a little bit, you know, about how you feel and how you enjoy helping other women or, you know, men with this.
Oh, yeah, it's hard to put it into words sometimes, but I want to do a happy dance every time a client, and I don't care if it's a giant transformation or they took that one little step and they will say to me, oh my gosh, I did it. You know, and you can hear the joy and the excitement from them, or sometimes they don't even notice it. They're not ready to give themselves credit yet. So I'd love to point that out to you, like, wait a minute, you did that thing you said you were going to do. You showed up. So it is very joyful. I've definitely got that servant heart to me. I love helping people. I just really love it. And because I know how great it can be to transform your wealth your wealth too, I suppose, your health, and to move for more and to move forward, I know personally how great that feels. So I'm so excited when I see someone else starting to experience it as well. Absolutely. Pure joy.
So tell us a little bit about your website and how people can find you.
Absolutely. So I'm at ColleenClary.net, all one word. And so there's my website. If you go nowhere else, but you go there, you'll get everything else from there. But if you want to find me on Instagram, I'm at Colleen K. Clary. I'm also on Facebook, same place. And then if you want to look up my running retreat, you can also look that up on my website. Pretty much everything at the website is the easiest place to go.
Tell us about your running retreat. I love the name. How did that come about?
So that came about a few years ago when I, as a runner, so I've got a group of girlfriends that I run with on a regular basis, and I started looking for a running retreat that was local. I kept seeing ads for one in Costa Rica and all these beautiful exotic places. And I loved it, but I was like, that doesn't fit where I'm at right now. I need something here. And because the West Coast and, you know, the Pacific Northwest, it's like a running, it's a running mecca. There's a lot of running stuff here. And I was surprised that I could not find a running and yoga, or excuse me, a running retreat locally. So I thought, all right, I'm going to make one and we'll just try it out. Let's do a little trial and error. Worst case scenario, I get together with some women. We have a girls' weekend. It's a one and done. It was very popular. What was reinforced for me is that as women, and human beings in general, but as women, we're really craving connection with other women and that time and space to unplug, to share, to make new friendships. So I just poured everything into this weekend, and it's basically everything I could think of that you would want in a girls' weekend. So we go for a trail run, or walk, because I have some people that are like, I can't run. That's okay. Come on, move your body, get outside. I don't care. So we go for a run or a walk. We have a yoga class specifically for runners and walkers. We have catered food that's really yummy and healthy. We have speakers on different wellness topics. I have massage people come out. We get massages. We do a little shopping. For those that want to do it, they can do some wine tasting. It's just a really fun weekend. And again, because I love to care for others, I just get to pour into these women for a couple of days. And it's become really, really popular. So it continues to grow, even in 2020.
Even in 2020. So, and you can invite women from all over the country or all over the world, they will come.
Yep.
Did you have one in 2020 already?
We're all virtual this year. And a few months ago, I made the decision. I thought, well, maybe we'll be able to do in person. Maybe we won't. I for sure don't want to add one more thing on these women's lists where they're all excited and then I'm taking it away and then I'm not. And then, right? So I just made the call and I said, we're going to go virtual. I've changed it up a bit, the format. Normally, it's only registered participants that are allowed to come to the event. This time I'm doing a Friday night happy hour just for the women who were already paid and ready to go for this year. But on Saturday of the event, anybody that wants to come can show up virtually. There's going to be a yoga class on Zoom. We're going to have lots of fun. I've got an author that's going to come and read. And I decided who couldn't use more ways to connect and, you know, escape for a little bit. So that's what it looks like for 2020.
Can you tell us when that is?
Yes, I'm going to look at my calendar so I don't lie to you because nobody likes that. So Saturday, October 17th is when everybody is welcome to come. You can go to Facebook and look up Runaway Girls Weekend and you just come to the page and everything you need is there.
Okay, and this happens once a year, which is wonderful.
Yes.
Okay, ladies, this is open to women of all ages. Colleen's virtual weekend, Runaway Girls Weekend. Go to Facebook, put it in the search box. It was really easy for me to find. It starts October 16th and 17th. I think the free stuff starts October 17th, she said. Go to the Facebook page now and get yourself a great weekend virtually for free. You have nothing to do this weekend, or it's the beginning of the fall and you want to do something different. Colleen is offering you a wonderful virtual weekend to hook up with other women, make friends, and do something really good for your body, mind, and spirit. Runaway Girls Weekend on the Facebook page for this coming weekend, October 17th. So when I decided to call myself the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I wanted to let people know that I was proud of being outspoken and I was proud to be a woman who I consider to be a powerful, unafraid, self-aware, hardworking, young and heart woman. I've taken that word pushy and given it a backronym to mean those things. Powerful, unafraid, self-aware, hardworking, young and heart woman. So Colleen Cleary, do you identify yourself as a pushy broad?
Oh, 100%. And I just love that. I love that you've created that. What a great, great message.
And certainly you identify yourself as a woman who pushes for more, correct?
Yes. Without a doubt, always.
So if you could leave some parting words for our listeners out there, if you have a message as a woman who pushes for more and you want really to make an impression and leave our listeners with a message, what would it be?
My biggest message for women in 2020 is to, no matter where you are at with your wellness and just your life in general, please give yourself grace. As women, we beat ourselves up so much, and I still hear that going on now. Please give yourself grace. You're right where you need to be in the moment. It doesn't mean it won't get better, and you have within you what you need to push for more. That's my message.
Colleen, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. I really, really enjoyed our conversation.
This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening. And remember, everybody needs a little push.
From the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, New York.